Well, 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 look who we found lurking behind the garden shed in the backyard from Ton Designs. It's Helen Todd. Good morning, Helen.
I actually did turn my compost this morning, but I have been at my desk for the last 2 hours. So I don't know what happened to the Telstra connection.
What sort of person gets up and turns their compost, really?
Me.
You've summed up that situation just beautifully. Helen, it is wonderful to have you back on the show today. We're talking garden irrigation, and it's a little hard to get our head around because we've already had some really warm days, and then today, you know, a top of 12. We had snow on Mount Buninyong about a month ago. It's kind of topsy-turvy, but we should be thinking about irrigation, right?
Well, we should. We have been blessed with an incredible spring rain, but, it will... The soil will need watering come summer, so yes, it's good to start thinking about it now if it's not already in place.
So as you design gardens for your clients these days, what's sort of top of your checklist when it comes to irrigation? What things are you doing?
Well, like most things, it's a bit complex. So I tend to really make irrigation as easy as I can, and one of the main things is your soil. Because if your soil is water repellent, or if it's clay, or if it doesn't have proper drainage, you really have to address that before you even start watering, because it's really a total waste if the soil can't hold the irrigation you're putting in it. So there's a lot of planning to do. And obviously grouping plants is a major thing. So, for instance, your produce garden would have a lot more irrigation on it than, say, an ornamental or a succulent or a dry garden. So I tend to do it in zones, and then you come across all the different irrigation types.
So it's not one size fits all at all, Helen, is it?
No, it never is.
No, that's why we need garden designers, of course.
It can get quite complex, but I try to keep it quite simple, and I don't go for all the high-tech things because sometimes they're more trouble than they're worth. I find the simple drip irrigation is a great cost-effective way of a slow-release drip into the soil rather than the big pop-up expensive underground things that all can go wrong. There's a place for that. I'm not saying there's not. Especially with people with expanses of lawn. But normally the home garden can get away with something quite simple, and you really need to know it's working. So many people forget to flush out their lines after winter, and sometimes they're blocked and they think their plants are getting a drink and they're not at all.
Yeah, so that's probably a number one tip today, isn't it? Check your system after winter and spring. Make sure it is actually working properly.
Yeah, it is. It's really good to do that, flush out the lines, just make sure all the little nozzle heads have been cleaned and refreshed. And then you've got the thing where what is your water pressure? So a lot of irrigation systems need certain water pressures to actually get the poppers out of the ground and things like that. So when you are looking at something quite expansive, it is good to get a professional in.
Yeah, because if you haven't got the water pressure, it simply ain't going to work.
No.
Hey, those little heads, the sprinkler heads you were talking about, how do you clean yours, Helen?
I just take them off and rinse them in a bucket of water and put them back on.
Don't you suck the grubs out like I do?
Oh. I have had a few, I don't.
You don't. You do it properly. Hey, have things changed with sprinkler systems? I remember, back many, many years ago, it all seemed to be about spraying water everywhere, all over the leaves, all over the plants, but now it's more about the dripper, is that right?
Absolutely. I don't put in any above risers anymore. I put everything underneath mulch, except for lawns. Underneath the mulch, you're not wasting water. And also, too, you've got to look at your roof capacity. You're coming off your tanks. I've got a grey water system, so my laundry water goes on the lawn. It's not just about using the main. Using things a little bit more resourceful these days, and you're not just throwing water around willy-nilly.
That's really smart. So with grey water and looking after your lawn, do you need to, like, use a laundry detergent that's specially designed to not affect it?
Yep, there's quite a few on the market now, so low phosphorus and so forth. And the trick is you don't use it all the time. And I've only got a fairly small lawn, so but it's amazing how that keeps that green patch lovely. And there are regulations to using grey water, so again, that needs to be professionally installed. But very anyone that's building or renovating, use your grey water, especially from just from your washing machine. It's amazing how far it goes.
So you can't. You can't just tap into your downpipe by yourself, though, Helen. You need to, get council approval to use grey water?
Not so much council approval. You just need to get a registered plumber and they sign it off that it's connected to the right areas. And you've got to meant to use water within 24 hours and
Okay. I'm speaking to Helen Todd this morning from Todd Design here in Ballarat. Helen, when you're designing gardens these days, do you insist most of your clients have some sort of water storage, a tank, so they can harvest that valuable rain?
I do recommend it. And when people are building, usually council requires you now to have either a water tank or solar panels or something like that. So most people go with the water tank. And whether that's for irrigation or whether that is for toilet flushing, so there's another thing too. So a lot of new homes, it's not actually for the garden. But I do incorporate, like I do a lemon tree in every design, I do put a water tank in. And because it's just that resource that is there, so why not capture it?
I've never heard you say that before. You incorporate a lemon tree in every design of yours.
Every design I propose, but not necessarily gets put in, every design I put a lemon tree in.
Brave person that doesn't listen to you, Helen Todd. why do you put a lemon tree in?
Because they're so useful, and they're a great tree, and they're evergreen. They give as much back as you give them, and they don't take over. They're fairly, well, especially in colder climates, they're fairly pest resistant. They grow well. I use lemons every day.
Well, you'd have a gin and tonic on the go with a bit of lemon right now, wouldn't you?
I've got limes for that. And no, it's not even 12 o'clock.
That's exactly right. We've still got a good hour or so to wait.
I hope all my nieces and nephews aren't listening to this. Matt, he's a listener. And can I just say a cheerio to my amazing nieces and nephews? They are getting into their gardens big time, and I am thrilled.
Isn't that great? It's in the Todd blood. They just have to get out and get dirty and get things growing.
It's obviously osmosis, but all of them, there's a lot of them, but they're all doing amazing jobs in their garden.
That must make you proud. Helen Todd, really great to talk to you. Fascinating stuff. Garden irrigation. People, the message is get busy now, get your system set up, keep it simple, and make sure you clear those heads out in your sprinkler system, but maybe don't suck them like I do. Go and clean them.
Those earwigs.
Yeah, don't do that. Not good for your health. Helen Todd, thanks for your time on Ballarat Today.
Thanks, Brett.